That's not growing better. See, we're not better. Growing better doesn't have anything to do with how you look. Growing better is how you deal with people and how you live. So we need to, everything we say ought to be life building and not life killing. Watch what we say. And in some of us bitter people, we're showing who we really bitter on the inside, because we always complaining. Well, if things are not better and you hadn't made it better, shut up. Some of us, all with these civic-minded individuals, really get on my nerves, because we always know what's wrong around town. This community got this problem. Boy, but the problem is this, and the problem is that. But I never go to a meeting. I never go talk to my councilman. I never go talk to my mayor, but I'm always complaining. Well, how about you go up there and talk to him? But no, I ain't saying nothing. So why are you even? If this community is going to be dilapidated and be a ghost town because we allow it to, it doesn't have to be the way it is. But we have allowed bitterness, and we don't want better, because better probably is going to cause me to do some sacrificing. It's going to cause me having to roll up my sleeves and do some stuff I don't want to do. I'm probably going to have to come out of my pocketbook. Leave that alone. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Knowing that you seal, why even jeopardize your place in God by allowing bitterness to come in? When you know who you are and whose you are, and you have the Spirit of God in you, why would you allow the devil to take that place away from you? Why would you allow him to take that joy away from you based on some people? You think about where you are in God when you gave him your life, and you having the Spirit of God in you, and then you think about somebody lying on you. Which one really is more important at the end of the day? My place in God. Because a lie, sooner or later, it's going to fizzle out. But the God of the Word of God will stand forever. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you. Throw that stuff away. Put it off. You can take that off. You don't have to listen to them phone conversations. You don't have to listen to them tell you all that mess and stupidity. You don't have to receive all these reports, these negative reports. We don't have to receive that. Take them off. I don't have to go with you to the store. I don't have to go with you riding around looking at people's houses and seeing who over who house. I don't have to go with you. Take that stuff off. Uh-oh, it got quiet again. Take that stuff off. I don't evil speaking, clamor, anger, wrath. I don't have to be mad at y'all. I do not have to be like that. I don't have to walk up all swole up and, If I'm like that and I don't want it to be any better, just stay at the house. Don't come mess up everybody else. Because some people, you know what? There's some people who come through those doors who really want better and really need something from the Lord. It's not fair that we're supposed to be ambassadors and hey, good morning. Ain't you happy to be here? Now, how would that look? Greeters coming, come on, sit, find you somewhere to sit. That doesn't look, that's why us in leadership have to have a pleasant disposition, whether we feel it or not. Because what we're doing is not for our benefit, it's for God's benefit and for those who coming in. That's why we can't have deacons who go come up here with an attitude. That's why we can't have our mothers with an attitude when they're supposed to be praying. They can't be looking stupid and mean. We got to have brothers who can't be asleep. We can't have ushers who don't have a smile. We can't have that, because somebody's coming in with a life-changing decision. They want better, and we too bitter to help them get the better. My God. All bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor be put away from you with all malice. Take that away too. And be ye kind one to another. You'll be amazed at what being nice to people can do. It's so simple that we miss that simple godly principle. We so Holy Ghost filled. We can't even be just simply nice. Good morning, how you doing? I'm doing fine, thank you. Good to see you. How hard is that? Some of us dodge each other. We go around corners and stuff and hide in the door so we ain't got to speak to certain people. And then when they come through, I come back out. Amen. I ain't seen us. We stay in the car till they come in, because I know if I get out the car, they go on to speak and talk. And I ain't in the mood. I ain't in the mood to talk today. Today ain't the day, so I don't want to fool nobody. So I'm going to sit in the back today because I'm not happy. But then when I'm happy, I want everybody talking to me. God is not concerned with our moods. And see, bitterness, you geared by your moods when you're bitter. It's by how you feel. If I feel like singing, I will. If I feel like coming, I will. If I feel like praising and lifting my hands, I will. But if I don't feel like it, you better check and see if you better if you got to do that. If you get off your feelings, you might be a better person. But if I'm better, and if I'm wanting better, I'm going to press through what I feel because I know what's better for me. And I know I want better, and I'm going to go for better. I'm going to press through what I feel, and I'm going to give God all I got. And I'm going to give people all I got. Isn't that good news? Our challenge, once again, brothers and sisters, is to grow better as opposed to growing bitter. Very simple. Very simple message. Very simple what God is sharing with us. To grow better. We shouldn't have these arguments in business meetings. Just cause it's business meeting. Tell the truth. Just because it's business meeting don't mean we got the fuss. Don't mean we got the argument. Some people come just for arguments because they're bitter. Some people come to show their displeasure so people pay them some attention. Because bitter folks want attention. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Well, you look like something wrong with you. Nah, I'm fine. You just want them to keep asking. You don't even know what's wrong. Because I'm bitter, I can't even identify what's wrong. Because I'm so bitter, I'm just mad about air. Oh, it's too cold. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's just right now, but I still don't like it. What took so long for us to start feeling this good? What took you so long? Why they can't sing this song? I was looking for them singing that song. Some are so bitter that we just, it just.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio. At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now as we prepare our hearts to enter into your word. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can do. Give us instruction, enlightenment, and inspire us as only he is capable of doing. Let him tailor the text so that every hearer's heart, both here in the sanctuary and those who listen by way of radio or CD, let him do in each of us what you desire for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. You get your Bibles and remain standing on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And I want to begin reading at verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, recorded of these words. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I just want to read verse 17 over again in the New International Version. And it says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Jesus holding it together. Jesus holding it together. That's enough right there to shout about. Because when you think about how many times you've missed it, how many times you let go, how many times you fell short, when you recognize that thanks be to God that Jesus is holding it together, there ought to be some witnesses that say, Pastor, preacher, I know what you're talking about. Listen at this word, because it's literally talking about the preeminence of Christ. And there are three thoughts that I want to share with you concerning this word, because as it gives relevance to the position of Christ to help us understand why he is the glue that holds everything together, the power, the substance that holds everything together, it is because of who he is. All right, and the word begins in verse 15 by telling us, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of what? Every creature. So the first thing we want to look at in the text is the fact that Jesus' position gives him the ability to hold everything together. His position, say his position. His position gives him the authority and gives him the ability to hold everything that gives that God has given to him and in his charge to hold it together. In other words, when someone asks the question, holding what together? Then here is a simple answer for it. Everything that comes after him. Somebody missed that. What is he holding together? Everything that comes after him. And so, you know, when you look at your situation and you look at your circumstance and you look at the problem and you look at what you're dealing with, and then you ask yourself the question, did this come before Jesus? Or did this come after Jesus? And if it came after Jesus, guess what? Dry your weeping eyes. If it came after Jesus. Listen, stop all of the whining and crying and crying and finding yourself in a situation where you're always negative and thinking bad. If it came after Jesus, the record is he's holding it together. Come on, Pastor, come on. And if you belong to him, listen at this, he's holding you together too. Now listen at this, his position, again, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things, what? Created that are where? In heaven and where? That are in earth. Visible and what? Invisible. Whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Do you know what this is saying? Listen, Satan came after him. That's why he wasn't worried about Satan. Because Satan, because of his position, coming after Jesus was not preferred before Jesus, did not have the preeminence of Jesus, and certainly didn't have the power of Jesus. So Satan never was a thought. That's why when he was kicked out of heaven, it was because not only was his motive not right, but his position wasn't right. And so along with him were those who believed like him and held to him and followed him. And all of them were kicked out of heaven because their position was after Jesus. And so when the word goes on and it says this, because this is something that we should recognize, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones. So that means any power, any potentate sitting on a throne. Listen, that came after Jesus. You look at the word and it says, or dominions. Again, that came after Jesus. Principalities, listen, forms and structures of authority, all that came after Jesus. Or powers, plural, all that came after Jesus. All things were created by him. So if it was created by him, how can it come before him? How can it have charge over him, authority over him? How can it be more powerful than him? And because of this, I want you to see, not only was it created by him, but it was what? It was made for him. So he not only created it, whatever it is, but he customized it for himself. That's why if some things don't work for you, that's understandable. Because they were created by him, but also for him. Listen, I want to throw out a helpful holy hint right now. This is one of the reasons why he's not ultimately concerned about your will. Because he created you for his will. Somebody didn't get that. That's why when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and helped us to understand that when he was fashioned as the substitute for mankind, not as the ultimate Son of God in that sense of deity, but as the Son of Man, so made of human flesh, when he prayed in the garden, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Now, why did he say that? Because again, he recognized his position after God. And so anything that comes after anything is beholden to the thing that came before it. So ultimately, his will was to do the will of his Father, who was before him. He's the head of all things. And so he teaches us that we must learn to yield our will to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that just as Jesus yielded his will to God the Father, to help us understand that is the authority, that is the structure, that is the standard for which we were created. We were created by him, but it was also for him. Now look at this word, because here's what I want us to see again. And the word says in verse 17, and he is before all things. Talking about position again, say position.
Position.
And he is before all things. Let's look at this pragmatically for just a moment, practically for a moment. If he is before all things, why do we put I won't venture to say all things, but almost all things before him? Why do we put our house note, car note, our love interest, our job, our family, our friends, our this, our that, our desire? Why do we put all of this before him when it's clear from the record again? And he is, not was, not shall be, but he is before all things. Let that just stay right there for a moment in the forefront of your thinking. Listen at this. Just marinate on that a minute. Let that saturate in your spirit for a minute. Listen, and he is. Do you know how your life would change? How your thinking, how your situation would change if you would change the position in your life that you have Jesus in? Now let me tell you what is important about this statement. He is not us. He doesn't fit in where he gets in. He doesn't have but one position, and that's first place. He's not coming into your life through the back door, through the windows. He's not going to sneak in. He's knocking on the door, and he's coming in through the front door and taking his rightful place as first place in your life, or he's not going to be there. And that's why so many things go wrong in our lives, because of how we have positioned Jesus. And he is before before me, yes. Before mama, yes. Before daddy, yes. Before everything you hold dear, he is before. All-inclusive word, all, means just that. All. Anything you can think about, Jesus is before it. And he deserves that position in your life. And so many of us, my brothers and sisters, miss the fact that he does what he does because he has created everything and he's made it for himself. Now, how would you feel if you created some stuff and it wouldn't work right like you created it? How would you feel if you created some stuff and then it decided it wanted to put somebody else before you? Are y'all listening to me this morning? Think about it now. He created it, but he didn't just create it. He created it for him. So that means if he created you and you're not acting like, one, you love him because he first loved you, and you're giving him the place that he rightfully deserves and worthily deserves, then how do you think he feels being in any other position of your life?
My Lord.
And listen at this. On top of that, even though you don't put him first, because he created you and knew the purpose for the creation of you and loves you in spite of you, he still holds you together.
Thank you, Lord.
How many times would you have let you go if you were him? Come on, don't act all spiritual on me now. Think about your life. Think about how many times in doing what you wanted to do, you not only put him behind you, you put him so far behind that you forgot he was with you. Because you wanted to do what you wanted to do. How many times the Spirit started telling you about something and you drowned it out, turned up the music. You started thinking about other stuff. You did everything purposefully not to hear him telling you, this is not the way. This is not right. And yet we would not allow him to take his first place position.
You're right.
In our life. And yet he still holds us. How many of you would be honest and say, I would be dead sleeping in my grave right now if the Lord weren't still holding me together? I made some choices. I went down some bad road. I hung out with some wrong people. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. Don't get holier than thou. Talk to me, somebody. How many of you know if he weren't holding you together, you wouldn't be here this morning? A guy took a group of people through an atomic laboratory. and explained all matter and how all matter was composed of rapidly moving particles. The tourists studied the models of molecules and were amazed at how they were composed and learned that matter is made up primarily of space. So at the question and answer period, one of the persons in the group who had studied these models of molecules, etc., asked the tour guide, well, if they're made primarily of space, what holds them together? And the tour guide, who had taken them through that many times before, had never thought of that question and therefore did not have the answer, and reluctantly said to the person who had asked, I'm sorry, I don't know that. But I'm glad that Christians know. Believers know. And it's right there in the text. And no matter what scientific answer is given, the record reads that Jesus is holding it together. See, that was a good place to give him praise at right there. There are a lot of things we can't answer why they are held together, why they operate, how they do what they do. But thanks be to God, the Word of God gives us a helpful holy hint. It is Jesus who's still holding every situation, every circumstance. Can I ask you a question? Did he make the molecules? Did he make the atoms? Didn't I tell you the Word says that he made everything, and he is before everything, and he's holding everything together? When I was small, we used to sing a song, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world. He got the little bitty baby. And you and me, baby. He's got the whole world in his. Right there, holding it together. But not only do we see his position, but I want you to look at the place, because the place is important as it relates to Jesus' authority and ability to hold everything together. Listen, you remember Jesus made the comment that everyone that God has placed in his hand, he's not lost one, and the devil can't pluck him out. Why? Because he's holding them together. And we're there together because he created us and made us for himself, and even that God, as the Son of Man, made him charge over, he kept those things, and the enemy couldn't even take it from him. And so because of that, we have this assurance in knowing if we are in our place. You didn't think Jesus had a position, and we don't. Listen at me, people. Because he does all things decently and in order, if he is in first place, no matter what place after him, we need to know our place. Because it's only when we are in our place that God is able to do for us what he desires to do for us, and we are able to function the way God wants us to function. And if we do not, then we hinder the flow of his operation. Try to take a transmission and put it in an engine's place. Have I got a witness here? It won't work. Now, they both work in the car, but they have their own position and place. And if you take the one, listen, out of its place or put it in another place, in either case, it won't work. Because a transmission was designed for one function and an engine was designed for another. And to move them out of their place, means that the car won't run, or to put them in another place means the car won't run. And that's the way it is with us in the local church.